When you apply for a job, you talk about your skills, your accomplishments, your abilities. When you want to go to school, you tell them about your academic achievement, your past performance, your great potential. When you try out for the team, you run faster, jump higher, and score more. But in the Bible, that's not the way that God operates. When Isaiah is looking for a job as a prophet, does he list his accomplishments, his abilities, his qualifications? Oh, no, no, no. Au contraire. He says, I am a man of unclean lips, living among people with unclean lips. And when St. Paul wants to join the College of Apostles, does he tell about all of his wonderful deeds and how marvelous he is and how great a potential he has? Oh, no, no, no. Au contraire, he says, I am the least of the apostles. I don't even deserve to be an apostle. Because of what I've done. And when Peter wants to get on the Jesus team, does he say that he's going to be an all-star? Oh, no, no, no. Instead, he says, leave me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Somehow or other, in the plan of God, these individuals do not have the right qualities, the right credentials, the right background in order to fulfill the job in front of them. And yet, they were the ones God chose, and as St. Paul puts it, I am what I am. All of which I think should say something to us and our attitude as we think about our own role in the plan of God, because it's a great temptation to imagine that it's somebody else's job to make this world a better place. A more godly place, a holier place. It's somebody different than I am. Maybe somebody who's holier than I am, or more worthy than I am. Maybe the monks or the Pope or somebody. But you know, if God was going to put a want ad in the paper, it would probably say something like this: wanted for either prophet or apostle, must be a person of unclean lips living among people of unclean lips, must be unworthy of the honor because of their past deeds, and must be a sinner. We definitely are not an equal opportunity employer. For more information, call this number. At Comspiri 220. You see, when we're looking at the Bible, we're finding that those ancestors before us are remarkably like we are. They have the same inabilities and faults and failings that we have. And yet, they were the ones God chose to make good news happen in our world. And if we, with all of our messiness and all of our sinfulness, can imagine our role in God, it will be an imitation of the Isaiahs and the Pauls and the Peters. Because if God could do wonderful things with the like of them, God can certainly work with the likes of us. You know, we start off every Mass by confessing our sinfulness. And that's not designed to make us feel bad. That's designed to show our credentials. Oh God, look, I'm just like Isaiah and not Peter and Paul. I can do it. Well, if it's not holiness or worthiness or dignity that equips one in this great gift that we have to live for God, well, what is it? What is it? Let's look at the scripture readings to see if we can tease out what actually equips one to live as one of God's people. I think the first thing that strikes me anyway is that you have to have the ability to listen. That's what I noticed. You know, Isaiah there is taking some time out to pray. He's taking time out to pray, making a gap in his busy schedule. And because he has taken some time to listen, he has this encounter with God. And St. Paul is attentive to the word of God. Did you notice how he puts it? He says, I handed on to you what I myself first received. He had been attentive to that word, to those traditions that had come before him, and thus he was sensitive to the call of God. And St. Peter says that he's been at it all night long. He had the night shift. And yet he was still open to listening to what Jesus had to say. In that morning, it was that willingness then to listen, to be attentive, that enabled them to recognize what God was asking of them. And the second thing that I noticed in the scriptures that equip one is a willingness to change. Even to make a big change. We're told that Isaiah was willing to let the angel of God burn out from him that unworthiness that he had. And Paul had to confront the fact that he had made a mistake and had harmed people along the way unnecessarily. And St. Peter had to accept the fact that he couldn't fish the way he had done before. He had to launch out into the deep. See, that change is something that we're all called to do as well. We have to deal with the fact that there is selfishness inside of us that needs to be burnt out. That we hold on to some resentment and grudges that we need to forgive, that there is some stubbornness or impatience in us that we need to get rid of. And once we do that, then we are able to respond to this great call of God.
And then finally, the third thing that strikes me looking at those scripture readings today that we have to be aware of is that you have to do something. You've got to act, right? Isn't that what they all did? They all did something. Isaiah said, "Here I am. Send me." St. Paul said, "I have worked harder than anybody." Not me, but the grace of God has worked harder. And St. Peter left his boat behind because he had bigger fish to fry. And that's the story of the prophets and the apostles. Not just in the Bible, but throughout history. They all did something. When God was thinking, who is going to give hope to the slave by showing them that there's a way to escape? Harriet Tubman, all 5 foot nothing and 98 pounds of her, said, "Here I am. Send me." When God thought, "What can I do? Who can act in a way that will help the United States to overcome its heritage of racial division and prejudice and break down those walls?" It was Martin Luther King Jr., who was the most inexperienced and the youngest pastor in the city of Montgomery, who said, "Here I am. Send me." And when God thought, "Well, who will be able to break down that terrible system of apartheid in South Africa?" It was Nelson Mandela, who had spent the last 27 years of his life breaking rocks in prison, who said, "Here I am. Send me." And when God thought, "Well, how can I convince them that there is a way to be authentically Catholic and truly black?" Young Bertha Bowman in Canton, Mississippi, who wasn't even a Catholic, said on her way to becoming Sister Thea, "Here I am. Send me." And when God thinks today, who is going to help enliven this church? Who is going to make good news real? Who is going to reach out a hand to those who feel lost? Who is going to extend some help to those who are in need? Who is going to bring healing to those who are hurting? When God thinks that, what will the people of St. James and St. Edna's say? Let me try that again. When God thinks, who is going to enliven this church? And who is going to bring good news? And who is going to reach out a hand to the poor? And who is going to help those who are in need? And who is going to heal those who are hurting? When God thinks that, what will the people of St. James and St. Edna say? Send me. All right. Bless y'all. Tough crowd. What can I tell you?